SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Coast to coast. We are live, Carver High, and delving into a little college football here. Our dose on C2C on a pain-free Friday. Let's dance. I got to tell you, I love both these college football games tonight. I think they're going to be fantastic.
They certainly are. We will start there. Double dip college football on a Friday night. Florida State, Scotty, 2-0, coming off that Labor Day weekend Sunday night win over LSU down at the Dome. They go to Louisville tonight, who bounced back with a road win at UCF after getting embarrassed at the Dome by Cuse. Florida State, the three-point road favorites going into the Ville. Air Force is the other game tonight, laying the heavy 16 and a hook into Laramie to take on the Cowboys.
Well, let's start with Florida State. This morning it was 2.5, and you could get the money line at minus -140. Now it's 3 and 155, right? So, look, Florida State, no one wants to believe, but you should take a really good look at what they've been able to accomplish so far, right? They won at LSU at the Superdome, and they played way better than LSU did in that one-point win. Don't be fooled by the score. They dominated LSU up front. Florida State has one of the best lines offensively in college football. Their defense is stopping the run. They have done everything well for Norvell. They've looked good in both of their games. They go on the road for their first conference game away right here at Papa John's in Louisville. And I got to tell you, Louisville looked good after they looked terrible. But look who they look good against. They're playing cream puffs. So, of course, they look good. But when they played a decent team, Syracuse, if you want to call them that, on the road, they got smoked 31-7. Florida State is flat out better than Louisville. They are a better football team. I like them to win that game tonight at the very least outright. You start laying that 3, whatever. I was okay with 2.5. You start getting to 3, what's next? 4, 5, 6 by kickoff. I'm sick and tired of these shifting lines as well, all day long up to the minute. I got it early. I already did it. I'm on the Noles. Second game, Air Force is better than Wyoming, hands down, right? Hands down. That's why the number's so enormous, 700 to 500, right? So, but here's the deal. Air Force pukes every time they play in Laramie. They never play well there. It's a house of horrors for them. War Memorial. They've gone 11-14-2 there. Take a look yourself. They lost the last 3 times they went there. How in God's name can you give the Wyoming Cowboys 16.5 to 17 points? I've seen houses have it at 17 today. We got it at 16 and a hook. I've seen it at 17 with my very own eyes. I do not believe you can give Wyoming 17 points at home tonight at War Memorial in Laramie. They are going to be drunk, high, hostile, foul-mouthed savages at Air Force and Wyoming are going to run the ball 1,000 times. They don't even pass the ball ever. They run. One team runs it down your throat, Air Force. The other runs a triple option. They're going to run all day, every day. Watch it. It's going to be a great game. You cannot give them 17 at home.
Let's go through some of the big games on Saturday. I want to highlight a couple of them for you. First, we'll welcome in our radio affiliates, Pharrell Coast to Coast, on a pain-free Friday, Sirius XM 159, Sports Map, Sports Byline. Good to have everybody with us here today. Nebraska, Scotty, off of firing Scott Frost, has Oklahoma coming in to Lincoln. The old rivalry on a high noon Eastern kickoff. Mickey Joseph, the interim coach at Nebraska. Oklahoma, as we know now with Brett Venables, Dylan Gabriel, etc., haven't looked overly impressive to me, at least, the first couple of weeks. They're now laying 11 on the road in Lincoln.
Well, I think most people see, oh, look, number six Oklahoma's coming to town. We're doomed. Oklahoma has not looked good at all. They're overrated. Venables' team, I don't think, has truly shown their colors, who they are yet. I don't think we've seen a good version of them yet. And Nebraska has had no problems moving the ball or scoring. Their problem, and Greg Sharp, the voice of the Huskers, said it to me, their problem's on the defensive side of the ball. It can't stop anybody. So you would think Oklahoma would be able to score, but this is a war rivalry, lifetime of bad blood between Oklahoma and Nebraska. Some of the greatest games I've ever seen in my life between these two schools. I don't believe that you can give Nebraska 11 points in Lincoln. I don't care who they're playing, and I don't care who the coach is. They got rid of the poison. Now they got a guy in there, he got nothing to lose. And they're going to come out smelling blood tomorrow in Lincoln. Oklahoma wins, Nebraska middles them and beats the spread. I like the Huskers' chances with that 11.
I'm with you, baby. I'm riding the Huskers tomorrow. I think you're going to get a big effort from those kids after Frost going out the door. Next one for you. Auburn has Penn State coming to town. If you remember, Scotty, last year these two played a great game in Happy Valley. Now they're at Jordan-Hare. 3 is the number. Penn State, the road favorite, going to the big SEC school.
I think Penn State's better than Auburn, but this is a very hard place to win, so I won't be surprised at all if they trip and fall on their face. I don't want any part of this game. I'm not betting it because you're about to lose money. I bet they go down there and coif. I bet on Penn State, but I don't trust them.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The fans clamor for Dr. Zhivago. Dr. David Chow from Sports Injury Central, Pro Football Doc on social media, our favorite on C2C every Friday to break down all the injuries around the league. Let's start, Doc, with Justin Herbert. As you know I've had a conversation in the past about breaking ribs and rib cartilage. It is a brutal injury. It is so painful. Getting up and down from a sofa, getting in and out of a car. If you were to get a cough, a cold and a cough when you have broken rib cartilage or broken ribs, I mean, to tell you, you might as well be dead. You'd be better off being in a casket because it hurts so bad. What is Herbert going to be dealing with here? He clearly is injured.
No question, and you could see it. And he toughed it out in his first play back. What did he do? Overthrew, because you need your torso. It's not a matter of wearing a flak jacket and not getting hit. Every time you twist and turn, bend to take a snap, as you say, take a deep breath, it hurts. And I believe he has rib cartilage injury. X-rays were negative. It'll show on the MRI. And rib cartilage lingers for longer. So even with 10 days before the next game, this is going to be a problem for game time in week 3. He's likely going to need a game day injection to try and play through pain-free.
Wow. Would you be surprised at all if he doesn't go?
I think if he doesn't take an injection, it's going to be very hard for him to go. He's got to do the injection to be able to do it otherwise. And we all know the story about how his career started and the whole other stuff, but there's ways to get the injection safely.
All right, let's talk about Mecole Hardman. He tweaked his ankle but returned. Is that something that's going to hit him more today, tomorrow, that injury?
It may, but this is an advantage of playing on a Thursday. Everyone talks about, short week Thursday, it's not good. But on the back end, it's better. This extra rest and extra few days should have Mecole Hardman good to go for week 3.
Let's talk about Brian Robinson. I don't know if you saw the footage of him doing footwork at practice. I almost fell over. I mean, the guy was shot 2 weeks ago in a carjacking. And now he's, jumping through mazes and tires and running, actually, at practice. I mean, this is crazy.
Scott, I see all the videos. You want to know why? Because if a fan or a Twitter follower isn't, you know, mentioning me on it and et cetera, I got a staff of 12 people that show me all the videos and everything that's going on in the world. And it fits exactly what we said, which is we fully expect Brian Robinson to come off of non-football injury as soon as he is available in terms of a roster spot. And he's looking good right now, and good for him, because that was that could have had a very, very unfortunate end.
Let's talk about just off the beaten path here, Toradol. I know that players have been getting injected with Toradol in the NFL for years. And yesterday I heard this Ninkovich guy talking about he did it 16 weeks a year, and he, you know, shot up before every game just so he could play. And then the guy asked him, do you worry about long-term health effects from Toradol? And he said, no, I took it 16 times a year. What do I care? What are the lingering effects of taking Toradol all the time?
No one knows for sure, but it's been studied. As a matter of fact, the Chargers did a study. Dr. Jerry Eason led that study where we tested people 16 times, you know, and blood work and whatever. You understand, Toradol is given out in a series of 20 pills, or you're not supposed to have more than 20 within a 5-day period of time. And so we spread it 16 out, and maybe 20 if there's playoffs, out through an entire year. That improves the safety. No one has a looking glass or magic ball to, you know, what could happen 20 years from now. But right now, from what we know, using it in that way is reasonably safe, and it's been done for a while now.
And non-addictive?
Well, you know, Toradol is not a narcotic. I mean, I can tell you it's mentally addictive because players like it, not just to be able to play better in the game, but they really swear by it for how it has you feeling on Monday, the day after.
Really? Dak Prescott, first they said 6 to 8 weeks. Then they said 3 to 4 weeks. You've done all these surgeries. How long will this guy be out after having his thumb operated on?
Well, at Sports Injury Central, we said 6. And when 6 to 8 weeks came out, we say we still think 6, but for sure 8. And then Jerry Jones says 3 to 4, and we still say 6. Jerry Jones is the best, right? He's trying to get his team talked about. He's not going to put Dak Prescott on IR. Jerry Jones is speaking things into existence. It's sort of his hopium, so to speak, right? Getting things into existence. Now, you may see him throwing a ball at 3-4 weeks, but that doesn't mean he can bang it on a helmet and not refracture the thing.
So J.J. Watt's recovery timeline, how did it go down from a torn pec to where it is now, where he's going to be out 6 games?
Well, the difference is torn what part of the pec? Brother T.J. Watt versus J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt in Houston in 2019 tore the pec tendon, had surgery, and took a while to come back, but did come back late season. J.J. Watt was coming back this season no matter what, but the difference is his is a pec muscle tear. No surgery needed. That's why it's maybe 6 weeks. That's why late October, early November, as opposed to December after surgery. It's the difference between a muscle tear and a tendon tear.
All right, Doc, listen, have a great weekend. We're having technical difficulties. We'll catch up with you again next week. I appreciate everything you brought us today, per usual. Have a fantastic weekend. Carver High, let's go back to you. Obviously, I was talking about T.J. Watt, and that's a gift, if you will, that they could get him back in 6 weeks. When the injury happened, everyone thought he was done for the year. I mean, automatic. He was walking off the sideline saying, I tore my pec, and they thought he was going to be gone for a year. 6 weeks is like, I mean, that's great news if you ask me.
It sure is. I'm with you. I thought for sure when he was leaving that game, that was going to be the end of it. But good news for the Steelers. They get to keep him around, hopefully at the end of the season. They're going to be in the mix. And there you go, Scotty. So actually some good news for once. You got him with both guys, Harris and with Watt.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now, I wanted to go. We were talking about college football before. Yes. We went to Dr. Chow. And I think the, you know, big game for me is that BYU game in Outson, in Eugene, and how the Ducks respond after a tough start to their season against Georgia getting smacked. Then they won. We really don't know who they are. We'll find out on Saturday out there in Oregon.
You certainly will. They're going back on the national stage here after a couple of weeks ago getting embarrassed. BYU is coming in with some good wins already, including at home against Baylor last week. Ducks minus 3.5. There's that half again for you, Scotty. Nice big total at 57.5 as well. I'd like to think Oregon responds here, Scotty. I just have a feeling that they do.
Yeah, Mike, I'm with you because it's pretty simple to me. You can talk all you want about both teams, and we know BYU's a solid football team, and they got by Baylor in double overtime, and they did that in Provo. The difference being here is that they're going to Outson Stadium in Eugene, Oregon, and it is just a brutal place to go and try to win a football game. I don't care what they have going. I don't care if Dan Lanning or Jesus is the coach. You play at that end of iniquity, you usually find yourselves on the losing end. I like Oregon to win this game by a touchdown. At least.
I like Oregon, and I like the over as well, that 57.5. I want to go up for there, but I'm with you on Oregon by a touchdown. We'll come back. More college to get to, including the U heading to College Station to take on the Aggies tomorrow. Big
game. Field.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Know your prey. This is a whole new jungle. This is the Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
All right, Carver, high Lion's Share time, and I know we're diving into some big football bets here.
We certainly are. We have a big Sunday ahead of us. Did we ring the bell enough for you last night with all that stuff? Did we, all those props, did we get enough in there between McKinnon and Mike Williams, Salvi Perez? I mean, it was just on and on and on, Scotty. Good night for the props. And let's do it again on Sunday. We will start with the passing and Matt Ryan. Yes, the Colts have had awful, awful time in Jacksonville the last few years. But Matt Ryan, Scotty, has not been a part of that. Despite the tie last week, threw for well over 300. 236.5 for Ryan down in Jacksonville, minus 115 each way. I'm on the over.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I think I'm gonna go under. I just don't believe in the Colts in Jacksonville. I think they're gonna have a long day. I mean, I wanna believe that they're better than the Jags, but I cannot convince myself of that. So I'm not gonna give him some big game down there against the Jaguars. I think the Colts' misery will continue, and he'll have an under day with that number.
Carson Wentz, of course, was a member of that Colt team that did not have a good day in Jacksonville last year. This year, he's with Washington and had a very good week, number one. And now they're going to Detroit against a team that was ripped apart by the Eagles' passing game last Sunday, Scotty. 241.5 for Wentz against the Lions. Minus 105 to the over, minus 125 to the under. I'm over for Carson this Sunday.
I'm going to stay under on this one as well, based on the fact that Vegas is teasing us with the Lions being favored as if they're going to win. Something fishy's going on. And if they're going to win, he's not going to have some big day at Ford Field. He's going to have a nightmare. So I still like Washington to win that game, but I don't think he's going to have a huge game numbers-wise. I'm going to stay under there, too.
Final quarterback for the passing. We will go to Sunday night. Aaron Rodgers has made a history of beating up on the Chicago Bears. They are coming off a loss last week. They're at home in primetime against the Bears. 246.5 for Aaron, minus 110 over, minus 115 under. Going over, Scotty.
I'm going over as well. He always plays well against the Bears, particularly at Lambeau. And then last week was a nightmare, and he's going to take it out on the Bears. I think he'll easily throw for 300 yards.
Next, let's get to the rushing props for this week. Saquon Barkley, NFC Offensive Player of the Week, with a monster performance against Tennessee last week. Now they face a Carolina defense that, let's be honest, got roughed up by Chubb and Hunt on Cleveland. 75.5 for Barkley against Carolina at home on Sunday.
I'm on the over. He had a great game in Nashville, and the Panthers could not stop the run all day long in their stadium. The Browns ran roughshod on him. I think Barkley goes over a bill, and the Giants win the game. If they get him to go over a bill, I say they get it done and get the W.
I'm on the over for Barkley as well. Next, we will go to San Francisco, where Elijah Mitchell, Scotty, done for a few weeks, will not play this week. Wilson's going to step in at running back. But last year when Mitchell was hurt, who got a lot of the burn at running back? And that's where it started to churn. It was Deebo Samuel. This number's 31.5 for Deebo to run. Now, what I like about this, Scotty, is I think he's going to get more work as a runner with Mitchell out. And two, we know that this guy can always bust that number on one run if he gets the opportunity. Over for Deebo, 31.5.
I mean, I'm with you there, easy. I mean, it's just like, are you kidding me? 31 yards. I mean, this guy will have 35 yards the first minute and a half of the game.
Let's go. And finally, for the rushing props, going to go down to Dallas. No Dak this week. Cooper Rush is going to be the quarterback. I think they're going to play a very conservative game plan, not make Rush do too much. Now, Elliott, it's been tough to get him big numbers. I mean, when was the last time this guy ran for 100 yards? But we're going for 54.5 here with Zeke. I just have to feel, Scotty, they're going to feature him more with Rush being the quarterback.
Yeah, I don't think he can get 55 yards anymore against anybody. I just think he's shot, and I don't buy him anymore at all. I'm not going there. I'm under. I think the Bengals
under
will shut him out.
Under for Zeke. Let's go to the wide receivers and the receiving props. Devontae Adams definitely stepped up. First game with Carr, had a monster effort. Now they face a Cardinal team that was shredded by Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs last week. 93.5 for Adams, -115 each way. I'm willing to play this guy at 100 yards or more every single week, Scotty, because it looks like he's the only guy Carr wants to throw to.
It's his opener in Vegas in front of a packed Allegiant in Sin City off the 15. He's going to have a 130 and 2 touchdowns as sure as I'm sitting here.
I love it. Next, we played the clip of Sean McVay trying to tell you that he's going to get Allen Robinson more involved this week. They're playing an awful Falcon team. We know that Cooper Kupp is going to get his. But I think they're going to score enough points, Scotty, where they're going to get Robinson involved a lot as well. In fact, they're going to make an effort on it. 53.5 for Allen Robinson against the Falcons, over -115.
I think he's somewhere in the 80 to a buck range for me, Carver High. I'm going over with you.
And finally, Jerry Jeudy caught a couple of big passes from Russell Wilson in that loss on Monday night. They have a very poor secondary coming in with Houston. I know Jeudy and Sutton both had pretty good games. Jeudy had the better game with the long touchdown. Same number as last week. We hit this over a week ago, 57.5. I'm over for Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, I think Judy's going to go off with Wilson on Sunday at Mile High. That'll be that. I think they're going to ring it up early and often on the Texans. I think Jeudy has that number by halftime.
There you go, the receiving props for the lion's share. And you didn't think that we weren't going to have tutties for you. I mean, we got to get some touchdowns in the mix, some anytime touchdown props. We got to find the end zone like we did twice last night with McKinnon and with Mike Williams. Let's start with the Steelers and the Patriots, Scotty. I think it's time at the place that the Steelers play for a little Trubisky to Freiermuth down inside the 10-yard line, plus +155 for Big Pat to get in the end zone.
They love Freiermuth, and Trubisky already loves him, and they haven't had him in the red zone yet in that game in Cincinnati. Remember, they were up 17-3, and they did it with defense. So I actually believe you're right. He'll have a touchdown catch from the red zone from Trubisky I love that bet. Give me Freiermuth. Yes.
Next, we're going to go back to Vegas. Going to play the Cardinals side this time, Scotty, because last week things did not look good for Arizona against Kansas City. I feel this week, Kyler Murray, he's going to try to do things a little bit more himself. And what does that lead to? It leads to him running the football, especially in the red zone. Plus 185 for Kyler Murray to find pay dirt against the Raiders.
You know how to find him. I think that's a beautiful bet because this guy's going to bootleg. He's going to do something to get the ball in the end zone, and he loves scoring touchdowns. I like that bet.
They got to jumpstart the offense somewhere. He's going to try to do it himself. All right, Jahan Dotson, the rookie, 2 touchdowns last week in his debut for Washington. Now into Detroit. I told you I like the Wentz over, so this kind of correlates to it. I think we got something special here, and the Lions secondary sucks. Plus $1.90. They didn't move the price down despite the 2 tutties. I'm going to try Dotson again, Scotty.
He's a great player. He was great at Penn State. He's already great in Washington, and they hooked up twice already. So Wentz already knows he can count on him. I say yes.
There you go. And finally, the big ball special of the week for the anytime touchdowns, Seattle and San Francisco. Yes, Geno Smith is the quarterback now, not Russell Wilson. But Tyler Lockett, Scotty, absolutely destroys the 49ers. For whatever reason, that secondary, who's very good, he has a bunch of 2 touchdown games against him, big yards against him. Tyler Lockett, win, lose, or draw, gets in the end zone against the Niners at plus 225.
Well, I'm sure you're right. I just don't believe in them in Levi's in Santa Clara this week. I'm not buying Geno and Lockett at all. I think they struggle to score touchdowns in this game. I think it's all Niners all day long. And I think, Lance has a good game and Geno doesn't. I say no on Lockett.
The Niners can win by 20 plus, and we could still get Lockett in the end zone. We could still get a big Niner win. We can get Lockett in the end zone, too. We can ring a little bell. There you go. So there it is, the lion's share. NFL props for this Sunday. Passing, rushing, receiving, anytime tutty, Scotty. Let's have ourselves a big day on Sunday. I want to ring the bell a lot.
I mean, we already have done this. I mean, it's like every night. We did it Monday night. We did it last night. Yeah. I mean, what didn't we hit last night in the lion's share? Baseball and football. We hit so many bets make your head spin, so why wouldn't we do it on Sunday and Sunday night and, frankly, Monday night, the doubleheader? I mean, we should be hitting these lion's share props left and right. We've been doing it every single night, every game.
I was gonna say to you before we go to break, lion's share on Monday, 2 Monday night football games. Bills-Titans, Eagles-Vikings. A lot of teams that could score. We're going to have ourselves a little fun with the lion's share on Monday with all these categories.
We got your team playing in Buffalo, in Orchard Park, laying double digits, a 10 spot to the Titans, who coiffed against the Giants. And then we got an even better game. That's a good game, but even better. Yeah. Vikings-Eagles at the Lincoln for Philadelphia. I mean, it's just going to be fantastic.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver High, back to college football. A huge game at Kyle Field in College Station. A lot of pressure on Jimbo Fisher's Aggies after they lost to Appalachian State, and Miami comes calling.
They certainly do. This will be 9 p.m. Eastern kickoff, Scotty, down at College Station. We will start by hearing from the Canes head coach. Here he is, your boy Mario Cristobal, and he wants his Canes focused heading down into the heart of Texas, Scotty.
Well, I mean, anytime you go on the road, you know, you've always heard that term business trip. And what does that really mean? Well, best way to put it, I guess, is that, you know, you work on toughness and discipline and resiliency and execution and leadership throughout the course of what, winter, right? Fourth quarter program, springtime, the summer, fall camp, and everything else. And you've got to make those things real, because that's what you have to pack in your bags before you take a trip to a place to play, you know, an excellent football team like Texas A&M. So the mentality is that of a business trip, understanding the task at hand and understanding what we must do to give ourselves our best chance on every single play.
Well, I know that A&M's going with another quarterback. They've already switched quarterbacks, so they're feeling the stress of losing to Appalachian State is what that says to me, Mike. But I have to tell you, the game's at night, 9 o'clock in College Station. Kyle Field is just such a dangerous place to go play in the daytime, let alone at night when they have all day to get lubed up. Look, I am telling you, I think Miami's a better football team than A&M, but not in College Station. I think Miami goes down there and trips and loses to the Aggies. Do they cover to 6.5? That's what the game's all about to me. I'm willing to take a shot with them at 6.5. I don't think they win the game. I want them to win. You know, I'm a huge Canes fan, but this is a typical Canes loss in my book. This is not the old Canes national championship days. This is new Canes. They go on the road. Usually they lose.
Yeah, Max Johnson is going to start for Texas A&M. He was with LSU the last couple of years. In fact, he beat Texas A&M in that final regular season game last year. I'm with you. I'm taking the points with Miami. I don't think they're going to win the game, but I think there's a chance they can. So I'll just take the points with the 6.5 and try to get it done that way. All right, let's fly through a couple of the other games of somewhat note here. Purdue is going to the Dome to take on Syracuse. We have Western Kentucky and Indiana tomorrow. University of Louisiana Monroe takes the trip to Tuscaloosa with the big 49.5 lumber going with them. Liberty and Wake Forest tomorrow as well, Scotty, with the 16.5.
Yeah, I think Wake will handle Liberty, even though they seem to always cover and play well. Not against this team. I think Hartman will chew them up. I think Alabama's going to put 60 on Monroe and cover. I think Western Kentucky will cover against Indiana with a 6.5. And I think Purdue's going to win outright at Syracuse.
I'm with you on Purdue. Next, we have Texas Tech off the big win against Houston. They go to Raleigh to take on NC State tomorrow. That is at 10 now. Pitt goes to Western Michigan. We mentioned earlier in the week, lost at home to them last year. You were at the game. SMU in Maryland, 72.5 in College Park.
Broncos at Western Michigan cover. They beat them last year. And I think NC State wins. That's a very difficult cover. I'm willing to take a shot, but given Texas Tech 10 is a dangerous way to make a living.
It certainly is. Georgia will head to South Carolina to take on the Gamecocks. That has been bumped up north to 24.5 in some spots. Michigan State goes to Washington tomorrow night, Scotty. I like Penix and the Huskies. Fresno State, late night, goes to USC out at the Coliseum, and the Roadrunners of UTSA, my Roadrunners, getting 12.5 in Austin against the Longhorns.
I actually think they cover the number. Texas wins. I'll middle that one. I think USC will beat Fresno and cover. I'm leaning now Penix and Washington in Husky Stadium. Too big of a trip, too long of a trip, and that is just a bad scene for Michigan State out there in Seattle. And I actually think the number's too big for a rivalry game in Columbia. Georgia wins, but the Gamecocks cover.
I'm with you. I like Rattler and company getting that big number at home. I think that they're going to be able to maybe hang around in that game for a little bit. So there you go. Huge weekend of college football, Scotty. Of course, there's tons of other games tomorrow. I know you'll have plays on the site, anything that interests you. If anybody wants to get involved there. Let's run through some of the baseball. We got a full slate tonight, too. Yesterday, things of note, Phillies lost that game to the Marlins down in South Beach. Mets got off the deck. They beat the Pirates 7-1. The Twins beat the Royals. Cardinals actually lost to the Reds last night of all teams. Diamondbacks beat the Padres late night. And we know what the White Sox and the Rays did yesterday afternoon while we were here on Coast to Coast. Yankees are going to get Luis Severino, Scotty, back on Wednesday, midweek next week, to get things going. All right, here we go. Baltimore into Toronto and the Rogers Center, Scotty. Big weekend for them. Lyles against Richards, as they've probably fallen a little too far back. Maybe if they get a sweep, they can revive some hopes. Blue Jays minus 160, total 8.5.
Yeah, I'm still on the Blue Jays here. I think the Orioles are French toast.
The White Sox will be in Detroit tonight to take on the Tigers. Lucas Giolito faces Manning. White Sox, the road favorite, minus 155. Big weekend for them. They got to sweep the Tigers in Detroit, Scotty.
Yeah, I got a piece on them at minus $1.52 this morning. I'm on the White Sox.
Because while they are potentially sweeping the Tigers, the Twins and the Guardians are facing each other again. Ober and McKenzie tonight in Cleveland, minus 150 for the Guardians, 7.5 the total.
Glad I got it at 135 this morning with the Guardians.
The Pirates at Citi Field again tonight, taking on the Mets. Taijuan Walker against Mitch, don't call me Helen Keller. The Mets, Scotty, minus 250 tonight, 7.5 the total.
Yeah, the Mets are going to get right against the Pirates all weekend at Citi. Again, New York here.
New York here. I see that we have San Diego and Arizona up there, Scotty, so I can go to that one next. The Padres tonight, of course, after the loss last night in Arizona to the Diamondbacks, they are favored in this one, minus the two Bills taking on Arizona. Bumgarner for them against Snell.
Yeah, I like Snell and the Padres to win this game in the desert.
The Rangers and the Rays. Rays head home, of course, after the week in Toronto that they spent. Rays minus 150, Scotty. Total 7.5 in that one.
It's not going to be easy. I think Perez is a problem, but I took Kluber and the Rays and got him at minus $1.45 this morning.
Ranger danger Suarez for the Phillies in Atlanta against Max Fried and the Braves. Braves minus two Bills here. 7.5 is the total.
Well, they had a brutal road trip, so it's party time now in Hot Town. I love the Braves tonight. I'm willing to lay the two Bills.
The Yankees open a weekend series in Milwaukee, Scotty. The rare trip to Brewtown for the Bombers. Frankie Montas going against Hauser tonight. Yankees minus 125, total of 8.
Yeah, I like Montas here in the Yankees to beat the Brewers.
Montas and the Yankees to beat the Brewers. The Mariners visit L.A. to take on the Rangers, or Anaheim, of course, as we always like to say. Robbie Ray faces Lorenzen tonight. Mariners minus 160, Angels plus $1.35, total of flat 8.
I like the over, and I like Robbie Ray and the Mariners.
We already mentioned to you the San Diego game. The Dodgers are in San Francisco. Dustin May against Logan Webb tonight. Dodgers minus 160, plus $1.35 for the Giants. 7.5 is the total in that one.
Yeah, I think the Dodgers are going to rub it in the Giants' face all weekend long, and it starts tonight with a win with May on the bump.
And let me give you the rest of the card. We have a few other games going on tonight, too. Miami is in D.C. against the Nationals. We have the Royals and the Red Sox coming up. Michael Waka 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 going for the Sox tonight. The A's are in Houston against the Astros. Of course, of significance there, Scotty. Justin Verlander on the hill tonight. And heavy lumber, minus 375. The Reds are in St. Louis again. Flaherty is back going against Cruz in that one. Cardinals with heavy lumber. Lots of heavy lumber on this Friday night in baseball, Scotty.
Yeah, I'm still on the Cardinals. I lost that bet last night with the Reds. I hit the Astros. I'm on Verlander easy. I'm on the Red Sox, and I'm taking the Nats, but I wouldn't bet money. Only Monopoly money would I bet on them.
Only Monopoly money would we bet on the Reds. So here's the good news, Scotty. We got all of the baseball in, right? We got all of the college football. Getting the games in is always the most important thing. We got to know who you're on going into the weekend. But the great thing, when we finish quickly and we have enough time left in a segment, I can go back to a great piece of audio that maybe I passed by, and Ooh. Now I can play it for you. How about Nick Saban, Scotty? As we know, they're facing Louisiana Monroe this week. I really wanted to get this in. It's a little long, But since we got time, let's fire up Nick giving the business to a reporter who said his team's going to take it easy because they're playing an awful team. Here we go.
Well, but, you know, that's your opinion on quality of opponent, all right? It's not mine. All right? I respect all the people that we play, and I respect winning and what you have to do to win. All right, so, and every player should not be focused on who they're playing against relative to their motivation, but every player should want to be the best player they can be. So why would it matter whether we're playing Texas or playing somebody else? That's how you get good. That's how you develop the right habits. That's how you're consistent. You know, I've told you guys more than once, when I was in the NFL, I watched players. I didn't know who they were playing against. I was just evaluating them. So that means when we play a team that's not as good as somebody else, you don't play as good. So you let the opponent determine how you play. You let the score determine how you play. You determine where you're playing. All right, that determines how you play. So when you get evaluated, what's somebody think? Oh, this guy plays pretty good at home. I don't think we'll draft him. Does that make sense? So I respect what it takes to win. All right, didn't I say this on Monday? What does what you're favored in a game mean when you're favored by 20 points and you lose, like two teams did this week? What does it mean? It means the people favoring you either don't know what you're talking about or the players playing got affected by that. Neither one of them are good.
Listen, I mean, this guy is a massive D, and he always has been. And I tell you, if he's not getting what he wants, he can be brutally difficult to deal with. I wanted to say one thing. I don't even care. We already know they're going to beat that ass tomorrow in Tuscaloosa.
Yes.
Here's the deal. Tomorrow at noon Eastern, I'm on with Joe Ranieri, in-game live all access, 12 to 4. It is an amazing show. You've got to check it out. Tell your friends, tell your lover, tell your dealer. 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock Sunday with Morenci, Pain Day style, NFL, all the 1 o'clock games. We are together. The Sports Rage and Uncle Futrelli, in-game live all access. It doesn't get any better than that. So don't forget, tomorrow at noon, Sunday at 1. Watch. What else are you going to do, loser?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I personally think this guy's been an incredible addition to the network. It's time for the Sharp Report with Warren Sharp.
Last week, Marcus Mariota dropped back to pass the football 18 times on early downs in the first three quarters. Do you know how many pressures the New Orleans Saints defense got on him? Zero. That's right, zero pressures on those 18 dropbacks. Very unlike the New Orleans Saints defense, especially when they're playing at home. Now, that's their pass defense. How did the run defense do? Well, last season, this run defense ranked number one and number five in EPA and success rate allowed to opposing running backs. Last week against the Atlanta Falcons, they ranked 25 and 28 in those same metrics. Just really unprecedented levels of defensive drop-off for the New Orleans Saints last week in week one. Now, was it something that the Falcons were doing and the New Orleans Saints just weren't prepared for it? Because last season, this was a very good defense against the pass and against the run. Or was it new pieces that they're trying to work into the mix? Regardless of what the reason the problem existed, they better get it fixed against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this week. They've done really well against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. In fact, all four of their wins and covers since Tom Brady has come to Tampa Bay have been because of this defense. And so this defense better show up and fix those things so they can slow the run game down of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Leonard Fournette and get after Tom Brady a little bit, especially considering how many injuries exist along that offensive line of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Remember what he said, Carver Hyde. Their defense basically sucked against the Falcons. They had no business winning that game, but they got lucky and they did win the game. But if they play the way they did defensively against the Falcons, against the Bucs, they're going to lose. I am concerned about all the injuries with the Bucs. Nine guys at least out.
I'm very concerned with injuries, but he's right. That defense is not the same as the last 2 years when they beat Tampa all those times. Tampa finds a way in the Dome.